sometimes I forget I'm on camera. But you shouldn't forget Facebook, Twitch. You can like and subscribe to the Fesco and Dusty page. You can go to the Odyssey app, download the podcast, and listen to us all the time. Somebody says, best Travis memory, 13-second game.
Do it, Kels. Do it,
Yeah.
And then we got some more favorite types of potatoes. Somebody says, what about the very versatile potato chip?
It's a good one. Got to have a thicker, sturdier potato chip, though. Not a, like a, just a generic Lay's potato chip. Like, I'm not in on that.
What about a Cardi B chip?
No. Stinks.
You want to elaborate on that?
Well, Stefon Diggs apparently broke up with her because her Brazilian butt lift smelled funny. What the
serious?
Hell was that? It was on Yahoo.
It was on Yahoo.
So good. That's where we're at in the summer.
I mean, that's where we are, though. I mean, so again, thank my parents for a great, you know, education in college. What are you talking about? Cardi B's BBL stinking. BBL stinky.
Do they allow that at West Point?
BBL stinky.
Somebody says the loaded potato salad pass.
Loaded potato salad. Oh, I was thinking like a salad with a loaded potato on top. Never mind. I was like, oh,
I would do
God.
A baked potato with a Caesar salad on top of it, or the old school poor man's potato. My mom and I would go to Wendy's when we were younger, and we get a potato and chili and put the chili over the potato.
Yeah, people did that all the time.
It would make Emily proud because she would be like, first, we put the sour cream in, and then you put the chili on top, right, and it mixes all together. And that's how we would, that was our meal at Wendy's for a while.
Yeah, they say you're not supposed to get the chili at Wendy's. Yeah, well, do some like Google searches and stuff like that, I guess. I don't know. Look, if you listened to what everybody said, what you weren't supposed to get at restaurants and when it involved food, you would never eat.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says from the 816, the Lay's Southern biscuits and gravy chips are amazing.
Oh,
I'll try that.
There are potato chips over here in the company kitchen called barbecue rib flavored potato chips.
Whoa.
Isn't that just like barbecue chips?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to, like, are you going to find like little pieces of meat in the chip?
No.
At McDonald's now, getting a hash brown. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Anytime. Yeah. Tell them we sent you.
Yeah.
You and Drew both.
Yeah, exactly. Drew's, you know Drew's breakfast, right? Two hash browns and a large Coke from McDonald's.
Every day?
Not every day. That's just his McDonald's order.
Okay.
That's it.
But every day is a...
Well, hash browns are fantastic there, and the Coke is better than anywhere else.
Seriously,
so, I mean,
yes.
That's...
And their Sprite.
Why is that a bad order? That's a good order.
From the 913, potato soup.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I do love it. Bob's not a fan, but I do love potato soup.
You haven't had Dusty's? Dusty's is great.
No, I have. It's fine. It's not something
it's
you know,
just creamy.
Like, yeah.
He's not a cream soup guy.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I want to diet my potato now as a salad. Yep. You know, that's, some people say that works, that if you just think about something else while you're eating that something that you don't really care to eat, it makes it a lot
easier. Does it really? I've never heard that before. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. It's like trying to like hypnotize the mind. Like, this salad is really a steak. Mm. Oh, this is really loaded biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
Sure the hell that tastes like it. And the next thing you know, it's gone. Yeah. And you've done your deed.
Yep.
Let's
BBL
see.
BBL stinky. BBL stinky.
My runner-up was this one. A lot of people were bringing in the tater tot.
Tater tot is really
nice.
It's I like? I like a homemade tater tot. Every once in a while, you can find a homemade tater tot. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, they do it a little bit differently. But the tater tot, I mean, is just a universally loved potato.
You just can't hate it. Johnny Ray's and Lee Summit has the best tater tots I've ever had in my life.
Oh, wow.
It's like an old school drive through burger place. You can eat inside. It's got like the old fashioned car night every once in a while, but they have like the burgers on the skillet that you should only eat probably once or maybe twice a year if you really want to push it.
Oh, I was going to say twice or life. Yeah. I thought you were going to say.
But damn, dude. Johnny Ray, a special place in my heart.
Dude, who's ever had a bad tater tot, though? Like, have you ever went somewhere? Like,
Sonic.
I will say this. You think they're bad at Sonic?
I've had bad ones.
Oh,
there,
really?
They're kind of cold.
School cafeteria, we used to get tater tots, you know?
Got to be. You gotta have crisp.
That were done in the oven and not in the fryer, and so they were mushy, and nobody wanted them. And then Tara Casey's mother used to steal the ketchup. It was awful.
Split the McDonald's hash brown in half and put them in your breakfast burrito. Add picante sauce. Okay,
is the McDonald's breakfast burrito big enough to fit the hash brown?
You'd have to take it apart.
Somebody says, Carrington banned you from the text line if you say that Wendy's chili is good, apparently. Don't ask me how I remember that from years ago.
Everybody thinks Wendy's chili is good.
Yeah, I think it's a hot take to say no.
Yeah, it really is. Like, yeah. Most people go, yeah, it's good chili.
Good chili.
People like the chili at Wendy's.
He must hate Wendy's chili, but loves chewing on pens.
And hates Kelsey, too.
He's washed, Rob.
I'll tell you what's washed, that Wendy's chili, Rob. Let me tell you, Rob, the fast food item that's washed the most is that chili at Wendy's. I agree, Carrington.
We're getting a lot of McDonald's hack orders. Yep, large Coke, hash brown, and sausage McMuffin, extra cheese. This is key. Use the app, and it's buy one, get one most days.
I know.
Has to be crispy, not a soggy tot. And then BBL Stinky might be the best drop anywhere ever.
BBL Stinky.
Hey, that was a report on Yahoo that they're no longer together because the BBL had a stank to it.
That's right. I mean, seriously, though, like, I mean, if you stink,
wrong
you stink.
Answers only.
Take a shower. BBL Stinky. Like, I saw the headline. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
So good.
Don't forget, you can go to our Instagram page, the Fan965. The announcement of Travis Kelce Day is there for you. It'll be August 7th. That is 8/7. So the hell with my 38th birthday. We're going all in on Travis Kelce Day. So be sure to join us. Interviews, segments, all based on the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. But
BBL Stinky.
Right. But where baseball gets sweet and not stinky is the Royals schedule moving forward in the second half. What's the biggest complaint we've said? They can't beat the good teams. Darn it. Okay. Well, they have the second easiest schedule moving into the second half of the NFL season. Right above them is the Twins. And then right above the Twins is the Cleveland Guardians. And then right above the Cleveland Guardians is the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, from 24 to 30, it's the Tigers, it's Cleveland, Pittsburgh, LA, Twins, Kansas City.
Right.
Like, everybody got the White Sox left on their schedule?
And go ahead and have the Cubs winning the NL Central. They have the easiest schedule moving forward. That is a fun team to watch if you like watching baseball.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker, Pete Crow Armstrong, and all other cast. But you love to see that because it is nice to see that it supposedly gets easier. They will start on the road. They'll go to Miami, and then I believe they will go to Atlanta, right? Is that right?
Cubs, I thought.
Cubs, that's right.
Miami and then the Cubs.
So they'll get Miami, and then they'll go to Chicago. And the season will start, I believe, Friday night, as they have the rest of the All-Star week off until then.
If you look at Miami, they got the fourth hardest schedule coming out of the break. And the Red Sox have the hardest schedule coming out of the break for the rest of the year.
Which is why they will be the most active trade deadline team.
Do you know they've won 10 in a row? They've won 10 straight games. They're like now 6 or 7 games over 500 now. The Red Sox were kind of left for dead. They traded Rafael Devers. It's amazing what happens when you get rid of a bad seed in your organization and how everybody flourishes because of that, right? Tyreek Hill, Rafael Devers. These teams moved on from these guys and they got better as organizations. Because sometimes you look at names and you're like, oh, we can't ever get rid of that guy. He's awesome. And then you realize he's a weight on your organization and he's pulling everybody else down. And since the Red Sox traded Rafael Devers, they've taken off and they've been a much better baseball team. Now they've won 10 in a row, but they do have the toughest schedule remaining the rest of the way. I'm glad you pointed out everybody else in the time. It's got an easy schedule too. It's strange because all the bad teams, the White Sox have the third hardest, the Marlins have the fourth hardest, and the Rockies have the fifth hardest schedule left. And all three of those teams, for all intents and purposes, have already been eliminated from postseason contention in baseball.
Yeah. So I like seeing that because that gives you some sort of advantage, whether you want to agree or not, because if you're playing the easier schedule, that means you're going to play teams that are eventually just going to be like, yeah, we're mailing in. We're just trying to get out of here. The season's not over yet, but it's over for us. And hopefully you can take advantage of that because you are 4.5 games out of the wild card spot. Still very manageable to get to that, that promised land, which is the playoffs, but you're going to have to play really, really good baseball. And luckily, you get to play against not some great teams.
Well, the thing is now, too, Dusty, you can't afford a hiccup anymore, right?
True.
Like you've got 3 games against the Marlins coming out of the break in Miami. Nobody goes to those games. That's not a good team. It's after the All-Star break. Now they've been on vacation for 4 days. You're playing. You have to sweep the Marlins. Like, you have to go into that series and say, we have got to sweep the Florida Marlins. Anything less than a sweep is unacceptable. Then you go to Chicago, you take your chances with the Cubs. Then you've got the Guardians at home for three games. You've got to sweep the Guardians now. They've given up on life. Mm-hmm. You got to go out there and take care of business against them. Then it's followed by the Braves, and that's how you close out July with the Guardians and the Braves. Take advantage of the Braves. They're not a very good team. Then it gets a little bit tough. You got the Blue Jays, you got the Red Sox, then the Twins. Take care of business against the Twins. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the Nationals and White Sox in back-to-back series. Then you got the Rangers. Then you got the Tigers. Then you got, like, you see where I'm going. When you're facing the White Sox, the Marlins, you know, teams that aren't in contention right now, you have got to sweep those teams. There is no more just win the series because of where the Royals are. With only 65 games remaining, there really is no room for error. And so every game from here on out, for all intents and purposes, you have to play almost a perfect game to make sure you win these games that you're supposed to win, because there are still some tough games on that schedule, but you got to make some hay, man, against the Marlins and the Rockies and the teams that are on your schedule that aren't very good. You have to annihilate them.
Hit it.
On the come.
It's Tuesday, so you got to do it twice.
On the come.
Only two guys on the come on a Tuesday here. Somebody said earlier, Dusty, stay out of relationships. They're not good. So I want to bring up, I guess I can start this off first. I want to say on the come is baseball. And this is a story that came out that got a lot of heads rolling and a lot of old heads really complaining.
And this is one of the most polarizing topics that I can remember. Yesterday, the rookie Jacob Mizorowski, named to the NL All-Star team after just five starts, the fewest games ever for someone named to an All-Star game, surpassing by a wide margin Paul Skeens, who had set the record last year at 11.
Well, hey, listen. Let's separate the kid from the choice. He had nothing to do with it. So to have any vitriol against the Miz, Mizorowski, is ill-placed and silly. It's not his fault. They decided to do it. But it can also be kind of a joke to the game and the integrity of the game that he's only pitched five times.
And then Ken Rosenthal had his opinion on it.
I see both sides of this debate. I certainly see the side of Major League Baseball and Fox. They want to generate as much attention as possible for the game. They want to generate as much buzz as possible for the game. Jacob Mizorowski does that. He's the Miz. He is a sensation. He is exactly what you want in terms of marketing. Now, the problem is, of course, to those who see this selection as something less than ideal, is that Jacob Mizorowski has made five. Count them. Five starts in the major leagues. Only five.
Okay.
And the question becomes, how far do you lower the bar? Paul Skeens had made 11 starts last year when he became the all-star starting pitcher for the National League. But he had been dominant in those 11 starts, even more dominant than Mizorowski. Had a 1.90 ERA. No one had a problem with that. He came up in early May. He had been a major leaguer for the bulk of the season. But again, when you choose a Mizorowski, you're not choosing others who have been with their teams the entire season and others who have really worked their entire careers to become an all-star.
So I'll take this back. Mizorowski is in the all-star game because several people decided not to play and they're running low on options. Rosenthal nails it in the very beginning and could have just stopped talking there. Baseball and Fox know what moves the needle.
That's right.
Do we not remember what game sold out in the middle of the week when it was a Wednesday in Milwaukee? It was the Miz versus Skeens.
Yep.
Do you know who's starting again for the National League? Skeens.
Right.
So baseball technically got it right last year with Skeens, who only played 11 starts. This year, Paul Skeens and Tarik Skubal will go head-to-head in the first inning of the All-Star game, and it will be electric. Every pitch will be over 100 miles per hour. There will be swings and misses. Or you'll
could
see
be
somebody...
six strikeouts in the first inning.
Could be. And with Mizorowski, the guy throws 103 miles per hour. The guy was picked after several people decided to opt out or not be chosen, and baseball knows what sells because it sold out on a Wednesday in Milwaukee. The guy throws gas. You want to see 103 in the National League versus I want to see Mizorowski and I want to see Bobby Witt Jr. go to the plate. I want to see who can get who because it doesn't mean anything. There's nothing on the line in this other than pride and bragging rights. And when baseball gets their stars and puts them on their biggest stage, which is the All-Star game, because everybody can compete in this game, you don't have to make the playoffs or whatever, Mizorowski will sell. And I'm glad that baseball is doing this.
Yep.
I'm glad they decided this. Fox, MLB, you're on the come because you're getting it. You're putting what the people want to watch. I want to see gas versus power
in this All-Star game, and Mizorowski brings that. Well, so baseball's on the come for me.
And I love that call of baseball being on the come, because I do love the fact that they are doing what the fans want. And this is just another example. Like, I don't think if you're in baseball and this is bothering you, then you should probably retire from the game of baseball and find a different career, because you're getting left behind right now. Baseball is not here for the old seam heads anymore and the historians and whatnot. Great part of the game. We love that part of the game. But now baseball's got leadership. And I know a lot of people in baseball don't like Rob Manfred because he's changing the game, but he's doing what fans want. And that's the way you grow the game and you market the game. You give fans what they want. And Rob Manfred has been on a heater in giving fans what they want. And the other thing, too, about baseball is they're not waiting years to decide to do this stuff. They went with the pitch clock. They went with the ghost runners to speed the game up. They're giving us the players we want to see in the All-Star game. I mean, Rob Manfred, with the commissioner's exemption, got both Clayton Kershaw and Bobby Witt into this All-Star game. And then, as you're right, as everybody continues to back out of the All-Star game, well, who are you going to put in there? Let me ask you guys this. If you're against Mizorowski being in the All-Star game, why? That's what people have been talking about. That's what fans have been enamored with. And you're right, to your point, 40,000 fans went out to watch those two guys pitch. There's a gentleman named Jason Adam in the All-Star game for the Padres. Nobody knows who that guy is, but he's an All-Star. Nobody knows who that is. You can watch Jason Adam pitch, or are you going to go out there and watch Mizorowski pitch? The casual fan knows who Mizorowski is. They don't know who Jason Adam is, another guy that's in the All-Star game. A lot of replacement picks, a lot of will-not plays. You know, you start to look up and down the lineup of these teams, and you're like, who are some of these people? Outside of Kansas City, not many people know who Chris Bubich is, but they know who Mizorowski is. Not many people outside of Seattle know who Andrés Muñoz is, but they know who Mizorowski is. Not many people outside of the White Sox front office know who Shane Smith is. He's in the All-Star game, but people know Mizorowski. You want to grow the game, you need to give the fans the players that they want to see and the players that they're excited about. And say what you want about this Mizorowski kid. He's only pitched in 5 games and had 5 starts at the big league level. He's one of the top 10 most talked about players in baseball right now, and probably one of the players that most people can name in the game of baseball right now. This is about the fans. When you grow the game and you build the fan base, it becomes better for everybody. And Rob Manfred has realized that. He has told the rest of baseball, ain't about you anymore. It's about what the fans want. Jerseys coming back to the All-Star game of the teams like we've been screaming about for years. Fast-paced games, players we want to see play. Home run derby that involve McAfee and championship belts and chains and all that. Like, baseball's figuring it out right in front of our eyes, and it's cool to see this happen.
Today you might have found out that Jason Adam is from Blue Valley
Northwest. Yes, he is. Yeah, he's from Kansas City. But he was the first name on the list, right? He's there. He was Adam. I'm like, all right.
Who's your on the come?
My on the come is O'Neill Cruz, man. Mm-hmm. Like, he had the opportunity to not make the All-Star game, and he could have said, I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to be part of this thing. They asked him to be in the home run derby, hit one 513 feet last night, and made a name for himself. Everybody now knows in sports who O'Neill Cruz is. If you didn't already know him, I think he's a dynamic outfielder, but I think yesterday was that moment where he now got showcased and was able to be in front of the world in that home run derby, and now people know who he is.
And he just hit a blast at Kauffman Stadium, like 449 or something like that, and then Jack kind of squashed that with the 466 missile to center.
Right.
Mac, you got an on the come?
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Okay.
Make sure to follow us on
I'll go Cooper Flagg. Sorry about that.
Fesco and Dusty's on the come?
Yeah, Fesco and Dusty on the come, exactly. Yeah, I'll go Cooper Flagg after his 30-point performance. That would be me.
And then he quit the summer league.
He didn't quit. Let's say
trying to get Mac going.
Yeah, they were smart. They're like, yep, you had
really
14,
smart, honestly.
You had
really
18,
smart.
Then you had 31. Yeah, you're done against these scrubs.
We're not risking it.
Do you see Johnny Furphy dunk over that guy last night in the summer league? Former Jayhawk.
I think he dunked in him.
Yes. I mean, that
the
guy,
way his face looked.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. Like that facial reaction. That guy was the 12th overall pick in the draft that got dunked on by Johnny Furphy.